Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we unpack the book of James. It's a personal, powerful, and yet practical book. Let's go ahead and hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode, today's conversation in the book of James. And John, we are on chapter number 5.
Yes, would be a great study today, Pastor. I'm looking forward to it.
We just finished yesterday the talking about that great section in James 4 where we are to live our lives by the will of God. Go to now, ye that say. And we contrasted the last couple of days the plans that we make and yet the perspective that God wants us to have.
For sure. And God wants us to have his perspective, as we talked about. God wants us to be sure that he is the one setting the agenda for our lives and that we are not just living our life based upon what we think we ought to do.
For sure. And I think James 5 is really the at least the first half of James 5 is probably the least familiar section of the book of James in people's minds. And yet it follows this same theme, because in chapter 4, he talked about, go to now ye that say, and they're making plans to buy and sell and get gain. Well, in chapter 5, I think he deals with people that have already achieved that measure of success, and now they're rich. So it's not the first time in the book where we're dealing with a contrast of rich people and poor people.
No, that is for sure. And we even, back in James 1, he deals with, you know, those who are rich and poor to a degree. And then you're right, in James 4 really brings it home. And in James 5, he's going to give some summary thoughts about what rich people ought have in their mentality when they think about life and what they do with their life.
Yeah, and in James 2, just if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring. So we see it thematically in the book. Let me read a couple of verses and we'll jump right into it, listeners. James 5, verse 1 says, go to now. So that's the second time in about 7 verses he's reiterated, hey, listen to this. Go to now. They're words of attention. Go to now, ye rich men. So isn't that interesting that James, in writing the letter, isn't writing about rich men, but he's assuming that there are some, even within the Christian Jewish community, that already are rich, that have allowed themselves to be maybe distracted from their Christian moorings, and he's dealing right to them. Go to now, ye rich men.
Yes, for sure. He's dealing with these issues that are common that we find in the church sometimes, because, of course, we all know that the church is made of a people that have been saved out of, you know, a fallen society. But just because that has happened to them and maybe they're in the church, they surely are not being Christ-like. And there could be people in the church who are not even a Christian. They're associating with the brethren, and yet they're really not committed to Christ.
So that's a great point. And so you think throughout Scripture how many times a specific group of people are called to attention, whether that be, and ye wives, or hey, husbands, or children, obey your parents, or ye masters, ye servants. Throughout Scripture, you'll find the Apostle Paul calling to attention maybe a particular group of people. So when he says, ye rich men, sometimes our tendency would be to tune out. Well, I'm not rich. You know, I drive an old beat-up car, and I struggle to pay my rent. But the simple fact of the matter is, by world's standards and by history's standards, if you're a first world country listener listening to this podcast, you are rich.
It was just a few days ago. I was at the supper table with my family, and I looked at him and said, you know, we eat like kings. I looked at what we had at our table. You are right, Pastor. In America, in other countries that are first world countries, people are much more well off than what we often realize.
There's no doubt. So I say that to say that don't tune out of this podcast, listeners, because really this is applicable to virtually all of us, literally all of us. So go to now, ye rich men. And then James says, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Get a perspective that you know, the way you're living and the priorities you have are not going to end well. And then verse 2, your riches are corrupted, present tense, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, rusted, corroded, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. But what poignant speech.
What a solemn warning for the people here whose focus is on materialism and is not on God. It is on what they have, and you know what they have does not help them eternally. And it's like you said a moment ago, even in our church, this is very applicable to us because it is so easy to get a worldly perspective of material matters where we focus more upon what we have than the relationships that we have.
And riches are so deceptive because in the moment they say to you, you're successful. In the moment they say to you, you have your ease, you have your luxury. And yet what the Bible is teaching is that in the moment, if you've set yourself upon riches, if this is your end, if this is your desire, I think Paul said to Timothy, if this is your love, what you're after, then your riches are corrupted. So I think that would refer to back in Bible days, riches would be quantified by the stores that one would have, the store of food and grain. So, hey, it's your food is rotten, corrupted. Your garments, that would be another way by which riches would be assessed. Remember the rich man in Luke 16, he wore purple and fine linen. Remember Achan stole the Babylonish garment because clothing was a symbol of, even today, people that, you know, dress to the nines. Yeah, so your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. What is James doing? He's lending an eternal perspective. You know, the riches are not forever, and very soon, this will pass away. But your service for God or your non-service for God will be brought into the judgment.
It is not surprising the Bible talks about riches and wealth and how we relate to that all throughout the scriptures. I think even the prophet, you know, Haggai, back in his time, the people of God were not doing right by God. They were not giving finances to God like they should have. And they were putting, Haggai says, very picturesque, they were putting their money into bags that have holes. And people often, when they're, you know, get all I can, keep all close to myself, when we have that kind of mentality, it is not going to be something ultimately fulfilling. It will be rather something, as James points out here, that will be something against us.
And let's be clear. It's not wrong to have riches. It's wrong for riches to have you. And there's a big difference there. So to some people, God has entrusted great resource. And I think that's true really of all of us that live in first world countries. God has entrusted to us resources, but what are we doing with the resources that God has entrusted to us? That's the bigger question. And in James 5, we have these rich men that have found their identity in, they have found their, the riches have become an end in and of themselves. And what the passage goes on to explain is how duplicitously they have obtained those riches. So watch what it says in verse 4 here, John. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields. So this tells us at least one of the ways by which these men had become rich. They agriculturally. I think that's why it says your riches are corrupted. All the grain that you've stored up in your silos, it's as good as moldy and rotten. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud. So the wages of these day workers, of these servants out in the field, these rich men had taken advantage of them. They had kept back their paycheck. They were leveraging them. Wow.
It is a very serious issue. And the Bible throughout, as we know, deals with this concept of those who have, not treating right those who don't have. The Bible talks a lot about the poor people and how we as Christians ought you know, I have a heart to take care of those that we can. But obviously these men in this passage, they don't care about God because they don't care about people, and they're more interested in their possessions than they are with people around them.
And really, being interested in possessions is really not an interest in possessions as an end. Being interested in possessions is really just a symbol of being interested in myself, because how does that possession serve me? How does that possession help me? How does that possession make me feel like I have greater status? And that's what the passage goes on to say, because it says in verse 4, the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Not Sabbath, although they sound the same. Sabbath is a whole different word. Sabaoth means the Lord of armies, the Lord of hosts. Remember in chapter 4, we talked about friendship with the world is enmity with God. And when the proud sets himself in battle against God, well, that's it here. The Bible says that when the poor man cries to God, he's crying to the God that's on his side. So a rich man, by taking advantage of others, is really setting himself against God.
And that is a frightening place to be. And you know, this, as you say, this title here emphasizes that God is the sovereign Lord. He is overall, and they only have the wealth they have because God has allowed them to have it, which is a great reminder to me to make sure that I, in my life, am treating what God's given to me, that I'm doing right with that, and that people that do work for me, that I treat them properly.
And the attitude of the rich man is really highlighted in the next verse, because it says, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth." That's the purpose for your riches and your stuff. You have been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. It's like every day is a feast day for you. Every day is the lap of luxury. Every day you can go out to whatever store you want, buy whatever your heart desires, step on other people, take advantage of them. Never look at your resources as a tool that God has given you to bless others. That never viewing your life in terms of stewardship, that we own nothing, God owns everything, but he has entrusted to us what we have for the purpose of loving him and serving others. You know, people are totally oblivious to this, and James is just calling a spade a spade.
Yeah, James is very well telling them that their hearts are not right. And that is, as we know, the heart problem is their main issue. And they're not like God. You know, it's astounding to me, if you look up the word give throughout Scripture, how often it is related to God. You know, God gives. You find it all throughout the Bible. Our God is a giving God, and God wants us to be like that. And obviously the people James is addressing are not like that whatsoever. They're not giving to others. They're wanting to hoard for themselves and even not giving to people what is rightfully theirs.
Ye have condemned and killed the just, is the last verse. We'll look at verse six. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Sometimes I think people persist in their taking advantage of others because it seems to be working. Nothing bad is happening. Hey, I'm making money. Yeah, I know I'm stepping on some people. I know I'm taking advantage of some people. But hey, I've got the power. I can do what I want. Riches give us a false sense of security. They give us a false sense of control. They give us a false sense of identity. And in the moment, it appears that everything is working out. And that's why the passage comes back to that eternal perspective. Hey, don't think for a moment that this is the end all be all. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. You know, in the mind of an eternal God, you better get right today, because today thy soul might be required of thee. And is that not what Jesus said about that rich fool?
Yeah, for sure. Jesus told him how foolish he was because his life was consumed in what he had, in building bigger barns, eat, drinking, and be merry. It reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, where Jesus tells us, as his disciples, we cannot serve God in mammon. We cannot serve God in money. If we are serving God faithfully, then we're going to have the right perspective toward material possessions, and they won't be all about us, as you referenced a moment ago.
So be careful, my friends. As first world Christians, let's be careful not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. God's blessed us. He's given us great material benefit. But what's the purpose for it? The purpose is that we might honor God with our substance, that we might be a blessing to other people, that we would never have a false sense of who we are because of what we have. Your identity is who you are in Christ, not what you have in this world. Next episode, we want to talk about, John, so what if I'm the one that's being taken advantage of by these rich people? What if I'm the one that's being stepped on? Because sometimes that's the case, and God gives us some very specific encouragement as well. But that's all the time we have for today. Thank you again, my friends, for joining us. I hope you have a great day in the Lord, and God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.